Anyone comes to me without hating his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters, even his own life, and cannot be my disciple. It's a fascinating moment. G.K. Chesterton is quoted as saying, curiosity of the Catholic Church has always been that it should be a comfort to the suffering, and a suffering to the comfortable. There is a genuine challenge that comes to us in this very real reality where Christ challenges us and tells us that we are to take up our cross, that our life has not been assured as one of ease, and of course if we follow after God that everything is all better and make everything easier. That's actually not what it says at all. Quite the opposite. It reminds us, it says, to really follow after God, to really commit ourselves to the Lord, to really embrace all of these things is to, in fact, embrace a cross. That is to embrace a particular hardship within our own life. That challenge that is presented before us in such a way that we are to embrace a difficulty. It seems a strange moment, but really it is in our suffering that God wishes to come to us with comfort. But in our comfort, God is not afraid to offer us suffering. Because he wants us to continue to come back to him. He wants us to remember how truly important it is that we continually, constantly strive after him. Because it is not this life that is to offer the comfort. This life is not the one that is to assure us that everything will be all better. In fact, this is the one that challenges us so that we can have the beauty of eternal life and all of the comforts, promises, and rewards that are contained therein. That's remarkable. Because we can look at this, and it happens from time to time, we know that we're supposed to embrace our cross. We're not supposed to take up whatever this particular cross is for us. We might even stand before God and say, okay, Lord, if this is my cross, then I will take it on. I don't have to be excited about it, but I will take it on. If this is my cross, and I will embrace it. Just tell me what it is. And we reach those moments where we reach crossroads in our life. And we think, am I supposed to do this, or am I supposed to do that? Am I supposed to take A or B? We come before God and we say, Lord, which is it? Whatever challenge it is, just tell me which one it is. I'll take the challenge on. Is it A or is it B? And sometimes God doesn't answer us right away. We're not very patient, so, you know, if he doesn't tell us in the first 20 seconds, you know, we tend to get a little disappointed. Sometimes God might be quiet a little longer. Might be quiet for a day, or a week, or a month, or maybe even longer. And in that waiting, we find ourselves stymied. We find ourselves struggling to embrace the cross because we don't know exactly what it is that God is asking us to embrace. And sometimes we might actually lose sight of the fact that it is the waiting that is the cross that we are supposed to embrace in that moment. As difficult as it is at times, whatever that cross may be, it's that thing we don't really want to do. You know, that's why it's our cross. That's why it is our challenge in that particular way. As I think about this, as I think about the invitation of taking up our cross each and every day, I think of several examples, the first of which is in the very readings in front of us. Of course, there is Paul, who has been in prison. And he sits awaiting trial. And as he sits awaiting trial, he has this one, this Onesimus, who serves at his hand, who is there assisting him and aiding him and brings so much joy to his life that he calls him his own heart. And he realizes that as much as he wants to have him there for his comfort, he wants him to be fulfilled in something greater. And so he sends him back. So that even though it is his burden to bear to lose Sosa, but one that brings him comfort, he's willing to make that sacrifice for something greater. A second example I think of course, is this today was the canonization mass of Mother Teresa. She was named Saint today, so now we can call her Saint Mother Teresa. Or St. Teresa, as long as you know which one you're talking about. There's more than one now. word three. And what a radical embrace of the cross. To look at the saint's life as remarkable, saint, St. Teresa, that she would embrace the various difficulties within her life, and she would embrace a radical poverty in everything that she did. You know, it was one of the most incredible moments. Her little sisters, the poor, were growing in number and growing in success, and they were invited to come to the United States to serve in cities in the United States, and they came to New York City. I saw this fascinating documentary. They came to New York City, and they were going to set up a house similar to the one in India, where they ministered to the poorest of the poor. And the person who donated all of it, he's walking them through, and he showed them the air conditioning units and the furnaces and the wonderful kitchen appliances and this incredible kitchen, and he was donating all of it. And they said, no, we don't need all of that. Just as long as we can keep the heat, you know, so we can keep the cold out when it's too much. We'll do it without the rest. It was this radical embrace of the cross that set him apart as this great example. This great example to stand in awe of in so many ways, but to remind us that it is possible to see the joy in embracing that hardship. The third example I think of is a lot more close to home for me today. This past week we observed the passing of the retired bishop, the Diocese of Rockford. Bishop Doran passed away on Thursday. I'm sure most of you know. Lots of people have already come up and asked me about it, so I'm sure most of you know. But he passed away on Thursday. He is, of course, the retired bishop, so it's not like there's been an interruption in the flow of business as usual, but it is a passing of someone all the same. You know, it's always been a fascination to me. Bishop Doran was named Bishop of the Diocese of Rockford in June of 1994, and I moved to the Diocese of Rockford in July of 1994, so he's the only Bishop of Rockford I've ever known. And he was, in so many ways, instrumental in my life, encouraging me to become a priest, and later making the judgment of whether or not I'd become a priest at all. Were it not for him, I don't think I'd be a priest today. So now you all know who to blame, so you know who's done it. The thing that fascinates me more and more is I know from personal experience that many people did not like Bishop Doran. They had their grievances against how he conducted himself or how he handled one thing or another. And the thing that was really a gift to me is as I went about the diocese, I got to hear more and more about people who were disappointed in whatever action it is that they didn't like about the way he conducted himself. And I can honestly tell you that I guess I just met a different bishop. He really did inspire me and wanted me to be a better priest. He inspired me and wanted to be ready and knowledgeable to speak to the challenges of our everyday life. More than anything, I wanted to use his humor, his willingness, his ability to just sort of work in nuanced language that was really funny if you just listened to whatever it was he had to say. The way he loved his people. I remember very early on in his bishopric, I was at the cathedral and I attended Mass, and I was on my way up to receive communion, and I just remember as he held communion, he had this incredible smile on his face. Like his one interest in life was to bring Jesus to you. And he was so excited to do it in that moment. It was remarkable. It was that beautiful gift. It was that beautiful joy that really spoke to him in so many ways. I used to listen to him talk as often as I could. And I really, through hearing it, got to see the incredible love that he really did have. I'll grant you, he was incredibly shy. And I'm not telling you he was perfect. He made plenty of mistakes. I mean, we're all imperfect. And his were more public because he was a bishop, so it was easier to criticize. But he loved his people. He really did. And he had such a nuanced way to see these things. I still remember going to a presentation of his one day, and it was at Holy Family Parish, and I was in high school, I was listening to this presentation, he talked for about 30-35 minutes, and he finally said he wanted to transition over and open up to questions, so he didn't have to talk for an hour. Because apparently just a week prior, someone had actually said to him, he said, you know, Bishop, if I was told that I was dying, if I only had an hour left to live, I'd want to hear you talk. You know, because you could make an hour sound like an eternity. It's really encouraging words that the bishop gets told, you know. It's that kind of encouragement that he got on a constant basis. But, you know, he still took up that cross. Each and every day, he still took up that cross. He took on that challenge and made decisions even when they weren't popular. Made decisions that, you know, at times would make him unpopular with father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and trust me, his sister sometimes was mad at the decisions that he made, but he really did make those decisions with great love. And I don't think we should ever underestimate how truly important that is. You know, I think to myself and my very first pastor, Bishop Kagan, who served as secretary and moderator of the Curia and so many other jobs for Bishop Doran, and he regularly used to tell me, he said, you know, that becoming a bishop is a punishment that he would not wish on the worst of his enemies, let alone his friends. And then the day came when he was made bishop himself, and I confronted him with those very words, and he said, you know what, you're right. I wouldn't. Wish it on the greatest of your enemies. It is a very unpopular job. But when the Pope calls you and asks, why wouldn't you embrace your cross? I have two challenges for you this week, really, in so many ways. One is a challenge, the other is more of a personal request, I guess. The challenge is, of course, to genuinely pray and ask God what it is that cross is that you are asked to bear. I know that asking God what your cross is a lot like praying to God and asking for humility. It's not so much that God gives us humility so much as he gives us moments where we are humbled by the events going on around us, which is not necessarily something we're excited to pray for. I understand that. But if we are truly going to embrace our cross, then we should truly, with eyes wide open, try and see it for what it is. The second is more of a personal request. I ask that you pray for Bishop Doran this week. Whether you thought he was a good bishop, a bad bishop, or somewhere in between, I want to assure you that he did love his parishes, all of his parishes. He made sure that you had a priest. And that is his genuine desire and his own love to show you his love. And so it only is fair that you pray for him now in his time of need. Assured that, you know, we pray for them now, so that when that day comes, we have someone that will pray for us. Because our days carrying our cross will come to an end, and we will need people to pray for us at that time.